Let's turn our Bibles, please, and I have titled this message to you today, Don't Hang Up Your Harps. Now, you might be saying to me, that's kind of strange, I don't have a harp. Well, that's really has a different meaning. It's don't hang up your praise. That's what that means. Don't hang up your praise. I told you the story of an older woman who has since gone home with the Lord. And I visited her at Family Hospice in Lawrenceville, right down past Children's Hospital. And I went to see her, and I was used to seeing her. She was in hospice for about 3 months. And one Friday afternoon, I went in to see her. And she smiled at me the best that she could, and she said, "Did you bring your guitar?" And I said, "Yes, I did." She said, "Well, I got some friends coming over to talk to you today." I was like, "Awesome, awesome." So she invited some of the other patients to come into her room, and we're going to do a little impromptu concert when I could sing. And she said, "But before we call our friends over, Pastor Tom, I want to let you know what I want to pray for today, because I'm used to seeing her often." I said, "Okay, what do you want to pray for today?" And what she said was, she didn't want to pray for a healing today. I said, "Okay." And I thought, when I heard that, in my training, you know, she might have a defeatist attitude. But what she said to me was, "Today, I want to pray that I can have the strength to raise my hands in praise until He reaches down and takes my hand." Now that is a woman who then hang up a harp. She says, "Just give me the strength, Lord, to raise my hand as you come and take it." That's a woman of great praise. Let's turn to our Bibles, please, to Psalm 37. 137 verses 1 to 6. Psalm 137 verses 1 to 6.
"By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy."
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in this passage of Scripture. The group of people, group of Hebrew people, and they're forced to go to a land they don't want to be in, Babylon. And they were very well known for their music ability. And when they were forced to go into exile to a foreign land, people there knew of their ability to play. And they said, "Sing to us your songs of Zion." And they didn't do it. So what they did was they climbed up on the top of willow trees. And what did they do with their harp? Hung them in the branches. Hung them in the branches. Now I want to explain something to you, church. Did they throw them away? They didn't throw them away. They could have elected to do what? Throw what? Why hang them in the trees? Why do that? You see, because they didn't want to just get rid of it. They just didn't want to carry it anymore. Christians are like that. Christians are like that. You see, sometimes we get a praise out. And sometimes we do what with it? We hang it in trees. See, they didn't want to discard their praise. They didn't want to throw it away. They just temporarily wanted to what? Lay it aside. I think in the churches, we're like that too sometimes. What I mean by that is, we get our praise out on a Sunday morning, don't we? We're praising on a Sunday morning. Then what do we do when we leave? We hang it until Wednesday night. Then we get it back out. And after a Wednesday night prayer meeting, what do we do with it? We put it away. And we bring it back out when? On Sunday. That's what these folks are doing. But the folks are doing, they're saying, "We will never sing another note until we go back to whence we've come." Have you guys ever been in a situation you didn't want to be in? Who here has ever been in a situation you did not want to be in? It's like universal. isn't it? It's universal. How many of us, you don't raise your hands, how many of us have been in a relationship you don't want to be in, and a job you don't want to be in, neighbors you don't want to have, families that get on your case all the time? We all have things like that, don't we?
Yep.
Everybody has things like that. Everybody says, you know, I'll sing my praise when I get away from so-and-so. I'll sing my praise when I get a better job. I'll sing my praise when I go to a better neighborhood. I'll sing my praise when I get a better car. I'll sing my praise when I got more money. No, you won't. Because as praises go up, blessings come down. As praises go up, blessings come down. And it's backwards. We're doing it backwards. And what I mean by that, we want to the blessings to come down so we can sing our praises up. We do it in reverse. Help me understand what I just told you. We do it in reverse. It's kind of like when the blessings come down, I'm thankful, so my what? Praises go up. It's opposite. We're supposed to sing our praises go up, so the blessings what? Come down. And that's what they're doing. What they're saying is, we will never sing another song to Zion. We will never sing another note until we get to go back to which we've come. The irony of this is that it's their captives that are telling them to sing. It's the Babylonians. And guess who the Babylonians are not? They're not the Israelites. Pagans. And they say to the Israelites, sing us one of your songs to Zion. We want to hear what you say to your God of Zion. And what do they say?
No.
No. What an opportunity that they missed. To sing their songs to Zion in this storm. In the storm. Not outside of it. Oh, I know people in my... Not here. Don't try to put names on people. Someplace else where I work. I know a person that, you know, if the sun was shining, it'd be too hot. If the snow was falling, it'd be too cold. And every time I see this guy, I say, how's it going? He said, well, Pastor, this is the day the Lord has made. Now, you know, let's be glad and rejoice in it. As soon as I walk away, what's he doing? I know that because I know people to talk to him. I know people who talk to him. He's one of the van drivers. I'll go up to him and I'll say his name. Hey, so how's it going? Hey, this is the day the Lord has made, Pastor. Rejoice and be glad in it. I ain't down the street 10 feet. He said, this job sucks. And isn't that us? Isn't that us? We know all the right things to say. We've practiced it over and over and over and over. You know all the Christianese. You know it. How many know the statements to make? You know it.
Yep.
Everybody knows it. We remember that. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. When do we do that song? At the offering. Everybody knows that. Well, I got news for you. You can do it at home tonight if you want to. You don't have to wait until we collect an offering. Did you know that? And there are amongst people who call themselves Christians, there are people I know that like that. They just hang the praise. Hang the praise. And the pagan said, sing us one of your songs in Zion. And they said, what? No. Not going to do it. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15.
Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky.
That is our responsibility. What is our responsibility, church? To shine. We are to shine like the stars in the sky. We are to shine. To a perverse generation. We need to be different. We need to demonstrate the love of the Lord in good times and what?
Bad.
and in bad. We need to demonstrate our faithfulness in a holy God in good times and in bad. We need to raise our voices in praise so that blessings can what? Come down. The Israelites said, we're never going to sing another note. Not going to do it. Until we go back from whence we've come. And there was a false prophet in the town. And the false prophet wanted to hear these harp players play. And so the false prophet told the harp players, hey, you know what? You're going back home tomorrow. The Lord told me to tell you. How many of you just despise that when somebody says, Lord, want me to tell you something? You know what I say? Tell him to call me. He's got my number. Tell him to call me personally. The false prophet said to them, hey, you're going home tomorrow. Get your harps out today. Get your harps out today. But the angel of the Lord appeared to the harpist and said, don't believe that false prophet. You're not going home. Your situation is not going to be better. Your circumstances are not going to change like that. No, you're going to be where you are for a while. And I know this. I know this because I am there with you. So get your harps out of the trees, he said to them. And play your music. Sing your songs to Zion. Sing your songs to Zion where you are. Give your children and your children's children in marriage. Plant your gardens and eat from them. And from that passage of Scripture, we have a little cliche. Bloom where you're what?
Planted.
You're planted. How many of you have ever been, or maybe even are now, planted in a garden you'd rather not be in? Ta-da! Am I the only one? Hey, this hurts. I didn't want to be in a hospital bed on Sunday. I didn't want that. I didn't want that.
What?
I could have been moaning and groaning and whining and complaining like the best. I could have done it. But you know what I decided to do? Bloom. What? Where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. How many of us have been planted in a garden you'd rather not be in? A job you can't stand. Relationship you can't believe you're going to survive in. Friends that disappoint you. Family members who talk about you. How many know what I'm talking about? How many know? You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. You know this. You know this. You know this. And what is our job? What is our responsibility? To sing what? Praises. So that the blessings, what? Come down. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2.
Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things.
Wow. I wonder how many of us, set our minds on earthly things. Church, you know what? I've realized in my 64 years of life, I finally figured it out. I cannot stare my problems small. Did you know that? I cannot stare at my problem and make it small. The bigger and bigger it gets, the more I stare. How many understand what I'm saying to you? The more you concentrate on your problem, does it get small or big?
Big?
It's big. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It gets so big, you're so small. And so what you need to do is get your eyes off of the problem and put your eyes on the solution. And from a higher vantage point, the problem gets what? Small. It's manageable. You know, the whole list of human emotions that we are capable of all failing, and we all fail human emotions. We all feel these things, like anger and love and all that. We all feel those things. There's three things I want to talk to you about today. There's three kind of feelings that every human being has that you experience. The first feeling that you think about is dreams past. Dreams past. And the second one we concentrate on is happiness present. And the third is hope of future. Things lost, present, and the future. And those three things, things past, things present, things in the future, is where we human beings wrap our existence around. What I've experienced in the past, what I'm experiencing today, and what I hope to experience tomorrow. How many understand? That's the human emotion. That's how it works. That's how we function. And most of the time, where do we put our emphasis? In the past. things we've experienced in the past, back there. Somebody said, and I'll never forget, I forget who said that. She told me all the time, but I forget it. I may not yet be where I want to be, but I thank you, God, I'm not stuck where I was. How many can say amen to that? Anybody want to go back and do that again?
Nope.
No. You want to go, anybody want to go back there?
No.
Not me. How many are thankful you survived it?
Yeah.
I mean, how many are better because you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God.
Every day.
Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Psalm 91, 14 to 16.
Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
What makes us cry? What makes us cry? The future? The future makes us cry? No, it's the past. It's the past. When we think about the past, that we come at it, many of us with many mixed emotions. Some of us have a whole bunch of hurt back in the past. How many has some hurt back in the past? There's some monumental hurt back in that past, right? Monumental hurt back in that past. And the past makes us cry. And we don't want to sing our praises. We want to hang our harps because of the past. I don't want to sing my praises because of my past. We cry because we remember past blessings that we no longer have. We cry because our dreams were destroyed. We cry because others have disappointed us. We cry because we remember what used to be and we no longer have. And we cry. And we don't want to sing our praises. We want to hang our harps in the trees. That's what we want to do. Like they want to do. They sat by the river and they remembered Zion. They remember from whence they've come. And they can't go back there. And they never want to sing another song. Well, what about where they are? Aren't there blessings where they are? There's blessings there. But they pine for what? Hey, you know what? This is the day the Lord has made. This is it. And you ought to rejoice and what? Be glad. How many are thankful to be breathing today? Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Because tomorrow you may not. How many are glad you got up today? How many set an alarm clock today and got woke up by an alarm clock? Who set an alarm clock and got up?
We all did.
Okay, no, nobody did. The reason why alarm clocks don't wake people up. There are people, alarm clocks are still going off and they ain't waking up.
Right.
The Lord God woke you up. He said, hey, wake up. The clock's going off. How many thank the God that he woke you up this morning and shook you lovingly awake and said, get up. We got work to do today. So what makes you happy? What makes you happy? Why do we sing? And that's for the present. It's for the present. It's for today. It's for the blessing of this day. It's for the blessing of being with your church folks. It's a blessing of being with your family of God's believers. It is a blessing to be involved in something bigger than yourself, and you ought to be singing your praises because of that. How many of you in this church, if I made an announcement right now and I said, hey, this person needs help. This person needs help. How many of you would be willing to lend a hand? How many would be willing to lend a hand? Now, keep your hands up. Look around here. Look. This is your brothers and sisters. And you ought to be thankful. You ought to be thanking God and singing your praises. You needed help? You make the call. And there's not enough parking spaces on your street. And where are you going to get that? From your family? It's from us, brothers and sisters in Christ. How many are thankful for that? Sing your praises. You sing your praises. So what do you dream of then? What's your dreams? It's the future. It's the future, church. You think and dream about what is coming. And church, there's a lot better coming than what we're doing here today. This world is messed up. How many know this world is messed up? messed up. And I'll tell you something, church. When I was a younger boy, that's a long time ago, we could sing our praises in the schools. We didn't have to sing Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock. I could sing Silent Night. You can't do that today. You can put up the Sandy, but you can't put up the Jesus.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. When we hung our praises out of the school, Satan ran in.
Amen.
Satan ran in.
Right.
And when we hung up our praises in our Congress, Satan ran in. And when we hung up our praises at the National Prayer Breakfast, Satan ran in. And when we hang up our praises in the White House, they got company there too. How many know that's the way it works? It's the way it works. And I know you all agreed with me. So if that's true, when you kick the praises out of your house, guess who runs in? When you kick the praises out of the places where you go to school, guess who runs in? When you kick the praises out of where you work, guess what? Satan runs in. When you kick the praises out of your relationships, guess what? Mark, Satan runs in. Let's go to Acts 2, 17.
In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams.
I will pour out. If you haven't got the Holy Spirit of God, it's not because you didn't pour it. Because you didn't receive it. It's not because you didn't pour it. It's because what? You didn't receive it. Oh, we might be singing our praises on a Sunday morning and pack it up until Wednesday night Bible study, maybe. It's probably true. Oh, maybe we can sing our praises on the way to work and listen to K-Love. But as soon as you park that car, turn that ignition off, man, you're going to that place that you hate. How many say amen to that? Crank up the K-Love till you turn the lock off. And then get in that elevator and go, oh, God. Here I am again. Hitting home right here, huh? Do yourself a favor and do the people that you work with a bigger favor. Keep the praise off until you get in the elevator. Make a difference. Make a difference in this world. Sing your praises. I hope that when my time comes, I can say to somebody like me, Pastor, just pray I have the strength to raise my hands in praise. Until he takes me home.
Amen.
Pastor, pray for me that in my trials, in my storms, I can raise my hands. And somebody said, you want something, Pastor Tom? Nope, I'm just praising. How can you be praising in that? I'm just praising. That stuff happens to who?
Everybody
gets a turn. The older I get, the more I am convinced. You'll get your turn with diverticulitis someday too. You'll be laying flat on the bed. Oh, it may not be that, but you'll get a something. How many know there's something's coming? Something's coming. I'm telling you, something's coming. And when you're laying in the bed and you're cursing out all the nurses because they're not quick enough for you, or whatever it is that you're doing, guess what you just hung? You hung up what? You hung up your praises. When it's your turn to be flat and somebody comes in and says, do you need anything? You said, yeah, I need to pray for you. That's making a difference. That's singing your praises. And your praises and your harps are not instruments. It's your heart. It's who you are. Close your eyes for just a second, okay? Just close your eyes for just a second. Let me do the best I can with my voice here today. Let me just When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Think I've made it all about you, all about you, Jesus. That is what we're supposed to do. Praise Him. Get your praises out of the trees. Praise Him. Don't praise Him when the blessings are already here. Praise Him for the blessings that's going to come. Because as praises go up, blessings come down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to sing to You our praises. Oh Lord, not because somebody says, let's stand and let's sing. No. We sing our praises, Lord, for what You have delivered us from. We praise You, Lord, for this day that You have given to us and how special it is. And we praise You for the blessed hope of what You're going to do tomorrow. We offer this all to You. And all of God's children said,